The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning. It is time to get up with Deshaun Watson. The decisions have been made. So where does it all go from here? That's where we will begin. Then, Fields on the field. Why it might be getting late, much too early, for the young quarterback in Chicago. We've got the highlights and the insight into his performance last night. Then, Brady, Bowles, Bucks, suddenly not so certain when Tom will be back in Tampa. Is it time to be concerned? That's the question. We've got the answer as we get up with you on a Football Friday starting right now. Delighted you were there to get up with us with a lot of football news both on and off the field. Brooke Pryor is here with us today. Chris Canty is ready to go today, and the rest of the squad is here as well. We have Mike Tannenbaum, we have Sam Acho ready to go. We begin with the big story off the field, where the National Football League and the Players Association reached a settlement in the Deshaun Watson case yesterday, agreeing to an 11-game suspension without pay and a fine of $5 million. Watson was accused by more than two dozen women of sexual misconduct during massage sessions.
The second time I spoke to you guys, I actually apologized, but I think for some people it didn't maybe register as I was apologizing. But, you know, I just wanted to clarify, you know, I was apologizing to all women and people that was affected about this situation, because it's, you know, it's definitely a tough situation.
What are you apologizing for?
For everyone that was affected about this situation. There was a lot of people that was triggered.
But not the women that accused you of this?
I've apologized to all women. So anybody that was affected, even yourself, everything. So I'm apologizing to everyone that was affected about this whole situation. I've always stood on my innocence and always said that I've never assaulted anyone or disrespected anyone, and I'm continuing to stand on that. But at the same time, I have to continue to push forward with my life and my career. And I'm moving on with my career and my life, and I'm continuing to stand on my innocence. Just because, you know, settlements and things like that happen doesn't mean that a person is guilty for anything. I feel like a person has the opportunity to stand on his innocence and prove that, and we prove that on the legal side, and we just got to continue to push forward as an individual and as a person.
All right, so those in response to a variety of different questions that he faced yesterday, and of course there were so many ramifications of this, some of them involving football, and we will certainly get to those, but many of them, of course, involve feelings that go far deeper than who wins and who loses football games. So, Brooke, I will start with you. I don't know if we can sort of characterize this as the end of the beginning of the process for Deshaun Watson. Now we know what the suspension is going to be. We know what the discipline is going to be, and it can begin to move forward. How do you feel about the whole thing?
Well, in a lot of ways, this is the beginning of the work that Deshaun Watson has to do, because he's shown to this point that he hasn't put any in. Adam Schefter tweeted yesterday that the league expects him to be fully compliant with treatment and accept accountability and understand his behavior. What I saw yesterday shows that he does not understand his behavior and he doesn't accept accountability. The only times when he has apologized has been when there's something on the line, when he has apologized specifically for his actions. He did it in a preseason interview with a sideline reporter. He did it yesterday in a written statement, but in a situation where it is uncontrolled and there are questions that are coming from reporters gathered, he goes off the cuff, and it shows, I think, his true feelings, and that's that he doesn't think he did anything wrong. How can you accept accountability when you say, I stand on my innocence, I don't think I hurt anyone? It bothers me that he said, I'm sorry if you were triggered, I'm sorry to all women. You don't need to be sorry to all women, you need to be sorry to the women that you caused pain to specifically. There needs to be, I think, a recognition from him, a genuine recognition from him, that what he did was wrong and that this punishment is happening because this judge, this independent arbiter, found that he committed sexual assault, even though she said it was nonviolent. It still caused harm to these women, and he doesn't get that.
Obviously, it's an issue that causes a lot of people to feel very strongly, and I'm sure that will impact the way a lot of fans will view him going forward, one way or the other. Chris Canty, what are your thoughts on this?
The optics are bad, not just for Deshaun Watson, but the comments that Jimmy Haslam made yesterday to the NFL, pivoting from their position for the majority of the summer, which was being adamant that Deshaun Watson serve a year-long suspension when they're trying to establish a new precedent. And I think that's the thing that we have to look at. Feelings aside about the discipline that they landed on, the NFL is clearly trying to establish a new precedent when it comes to the personal conduct policy, and that's how you get a suspension that's nearly double the suspension that Sue Robinson handed down, the independent arbitrator, and you're talking about a historic fine, a record $5 million fine against a player. So I think we have to acknowledge that there is a new precedent, and if so, Roger Goodell has to be out front and center and making sure that the application of this new precedent is consistent when it comes to players, coaches, executives, and owners. And so I think we have to continue to look at that and monitor what happens to some of the owners that have run afoul of the personal conduct policy, specifically when it comes to misconduct toward women.
And Sacho, you played in the league a long time. You also had a leadership role in the NFL Players Association. What is your perspective on everything here?
Yeah, it just seems like, after watching that interview, it seems like Deshaun Watson just wants to get this all over with. The problem is, even after the 11-game suspension, it's not going to be all over with. People are still going to be, in his words, triggered by seeing people talk about him, seeing him back on the field. And so it just goes to me the point of, like, what you do in the dark will come to the light, right? Let this be a lesson to anyone and everyone. It's like you can't just get away with things that you think you're getting away with, right? For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. And so in a lot of ways, we don't see this reaction as equal or opposite, but we need to understand, and if Deshaun doesn't understand it, hopefully you will after some counseling, after some therapy, but we all need to understand that you can't just sneak around and think you're going to get away with everything. It'll come back and bite you.
It's an important piece of this. Again, suspended 11 games for what it is worth. The first game back for which he is eligible to play is the game against his former team, the Houston Texans. Mike T, I'll give you the final word on this. There were procedural pieces of this that you, I think, understand pretty well with your experience in front offices that I think are important here as well.
Yeah, a couple of notes, Greeny. First of all, the league took the certainty of a settlement. Again, they appealed Judge Robinson's initial ruling of six games, which they were allowed to do under the CBA. Everyone knows that they were looking for the full year suspension, but they opted for the certainty of a settlement because, albeit unlikely, Greeny, the NFLPA certainly could have gone to federal district court, sought an injunction, and this could have played on well into the season. And the other part of this that's really interesting is the length that the Cleveland Browns went financially for Deshaun Watson. He's going to miss $632,500 worth of paychecks this year. And next year, he will make $46 million. So this is an unprecedented situation on so many levels. But the numbers on the contract shows you how far backwards Cleveland bent over to make sure that Deshaun Watson got everything he wanted back when he became a Brown. And the numbers are stark. He's only missing $632,000 in paychecks this year because his base salary is roughly $1 million. That goes up to $46 million next year.
And had this gone to 12 games rather than 11, that may have been in question. So there were so many different pieces of this story off the field. We'll continue to explore those. There were also a lot of on-the-field ramifications for the Browns going forward that we will talk about. In the meantime, we go on the field with last night's preseason action in a game that you saw on ESPN. It was the Bears and the Seahawks. The interesting part, of course, Justin Fields in action for Chicago. This is the very first play of the game, and Fields seems to have a nice connection with his third-year tight end out of Notre Dame, Cole Kmet. That's a 12-yard gain and a first down. Later in the drive, on a first down, play action, Fields, Khalil Herbert, little 4-yard gain as Fields rolling right on that play. The very next play, he's rolling left at a designed quarterback movement, and he's got Kmet here, 19 yards, and the Bears moving the chains. Later in the drive, they're in the red area with a 3rd and 4. And it's Fields going to dump one off for Herbert, who's not going to get close, and so they would settle for the field goal. Fields' night would be done after one drive, 5 for 7, 39 yards, the Bears would go on to win it by a score of 27-11. But the important piece of this, of course, the performance of the second-year quarterback. The offense looked a little better last night than it did in the first preseason game. He played the one series last night. The Bears scored points. He did not get sacked. The offense with Fields averaged 5.8 yards per play yesterday, which is significantly up from the first preseason game. We take these things for what they are worth. But as we watch the development here of Fields and what I think is an important season for him, Chris Canty, what did you see?
Well, I think some of the things that Luke Getsy tried to employ are important when it comes to the development or evolution of Justin Fields. The design rollouts, getting him outside of the pocket, moving the launch point, I think that's going to be critical when you see the offensive line struggles for the Chicago Bears. You look at two of the four dropbacks that Justin Fields had in that first drive, they were seven-man protections, and yet the offensive line still allowed pressure. So being able to move the launch point is going to be critical. Last year, only 15 design rollouts with Matt Nagy as the Bears offensive coordinator head coach. That's got to change if Justin Fields is going to survive this year, but I do like the improvement on his mechanics, being able to flip his hits, set his feet, and deliver accurate strikes down the field. That's what you want to see from the jump from a young quarterback going from year one to year two.
Mike Tannenbaum, you have significant concerns about the pieces they've put in place around him. What are they?
Yeah, I think it's reckless what they're doing. I would have taken Chris Morgan, their offensive line coach, their head coach, Matt Eberflus, and Ryan Poles, and I would have kicked everybody else out of the building and said, we are drafting offensive linemen for at least this draft and maybe in 2023. They drafted offensive linemen in the fifth, sixth, and seventh rounds. That's not good enough. Justin Fields is a great talent, not a good talent, a great talent, but he may turn into David Carr. He has no chance to get through 17 games, Greeny. Job one, two, and three of developing a quarterback is protection. Imagine if that game was a regular season last night and crowd noise was a factor. So we'll really never know how good Justin Fields can be until they have a representative offensive line.
What do you think of it, Sacho? How concerned should we be? I use this phrase all the time. More young quarterbacks are destroyed than are developed in the National Football League. How concerned should we be if we're Chicago fans about Justin Fields at this stage?
Doom and gloom, Greeny. Doom and gloom. Let me tell you why. It's not just the offensive line that didn't protect well. It's the running backs as well. The first real pass play, Khalil Herbert whiffs on the block on a pressure. The next pass play, right, not including screens, you see a five-man pressure. The O-line can't protect. The pocket gets collapsed. The very next pass play, right, you see once again there's going to be pressure from the right guard's perspective. That's Tevin Jenkins. Everything cannot be a design rollout. Everything could not be a bootleg. Sooner or later, not just the offensive line, but the running backs and tight ends have to protect as well. And so from a guy who played for the Bears, who lives in Chicago, I feel and I sense the doom and gloom if the offensive line and the tight ends and the running backs, essentially the pass pro in particular, does not get addressed and get addressed immediately.
And so, Brooke, when you go around the league and you ask questions about the Bears in particular, what sorts of answers do you get?
I mean, look, at this point, it feels like the Bears have a Mercedes-Benz at quarterback, but they've given it used tires, no insurance policy, and he's driving on a road in Pittsburgh in March when there's potholes all over the place. So, like, what are you going to do? You're going to end up having to park the Mercedes-Benz because you can't keep it safe. I mean, he has Cole Kmet, and that's great. That was a good relationship that he showed with him last night, good chemistry. But beyond that, I mean, you've kind of got the island of misfit toys in his receiving core. The offensive line is porous. It's bad across the board, and you don't, like you said, you don't want to destroy a young quarterback. You don't want to have to park that Mercedes-Benz because you didn't take the proper precautions when you bought it. When you drive it off the lot, you want to make sure that you have everything going so it can at least reach, I mean, the five-year warranty, and they haven't done that at all.
No, right now he's only in year two. At 5 years is exactly right. They've got the five-year contract with a first-round pick. We'll see how it develops through this first year, and I guess now his second year. Meanwhile, it was Dan Orlovsky, our buddy, was calling a game last night with Steve Levy and Louis Riddick and Laura last night. And it was Danny's birthday, and so they brought Dan a cupcake. Listen.
Who baked this at home? Which one of you guys?
Nobody, but I know you have a sweet tooth.
Oh, this is good.
And you're a foodie. Is that going to be okay?
Yeah.
I don't know if he's
I wouldn't
a foodie.
Say I'm a foodie.
I don't know if he's a foodie.
I put some blue cheese.
Let's go with a cupcake now.
Put some blue cheese on top of that.
Blue cheese is gross. but this cupcake is fantastic.
he was using the candle as a spork. Pretty much the only. Anyone have a thought on that?
No. Who eats a cupcake like that?
I don't know.
I don't understand.
You can't mess up the TV makeup. Also, I'm with Dan. Blue cheese is gross. Ranch for life. If it was a cupcake with ranch.
I don't trust any Dan Orlovsky food taste. You're talking about somebody that wants to put ketchup on macaroni and cheese. It's absolutely disgusting.
I don't know where to begin, but I know very few things in life with certainty, but I know that calling Dan Orlovsky a foodie is probably the biggest mistake a person could possibly make. But happy birthday, Danny. We'll see you back in here Monday. Dan, a staple of Get Up as we head towards the football season. Meanwhile, as we continue, speaking of Monday Night Football and on Monday Countdown, did you hear what a Hall of Famer said about Lamar Jackson last night? It was Steve Young. You'll hear why Steve thinks the Ravens are doing their star quarterback a huge disservice. Steve was passionate last night. You have to hear what he said. Plus, many expect to see Tom Brady back with the Bucs after their game against the Titans this weekend. But will we? Will you hear what his coach said yesterday? Something's going on. We'll get to the bottom of it next. Let's Get Up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Get Up is brought to you by Pizza Hut. No one out pizzas the Hut. Order today at pizzahut.com or download the app. All right, our next stop is Baltimore. The Ravens have announced that Lamar Jackson will be sitting for their second preseason game this Sunday against the Cardinals. Lamar and the Ravens, of course, have still yet to agree on a contract extension. I want you to hear Steve Young last night on NFL Countdown with some passionate thoughts on Lamar, his contract, and his role. Listen.
Why isn't he getting paid to be Patrick Mahomes? Because they haven't given him a chance to be Patrick Mahomes. So until they do, Lamar Jackson's damned because of what the Ravens are doing, not because of Lamar Jackson. I can't wait for someone to train Lamar Jackson in a sophisticated passing game. I think he'd be the greatest player in the history of the game. He's being held back by the Ravens. I want the full measure of who Lamar Jackson is, and the full measure is not being brought forward by the Ravens. And if that's not the case, then get out and find someone who will.
So that's a Hall of Fame quarterback telling you that the offense that they run in Baltimore is actually holding Lamar back. Not that he's holding back their ability to develop and run a more sophisticated passing game. And Steve was really passionate on this. Sacha, I'll start with you. What do you think of that idea? Taking the money out of it for the moment. The idea that the offense itself is limiting Lamar Jackson's growth.
I don't agree with that idea, but I will put a caveat. Trading away Hollywood Brown is a caveat, right? Hopefully Rashad Bateman steps up. But Lamar Jackson was MVP 3 years ago, right? 2019, he wins league MVP. Last year, before he got injured, the Ravens were 8-3, leading the division. And so for me, I don't subscribe to the thought that the Ravens are holding Lamar Jackson back. I think that they're building a team to try and beat Patrick Mahomes. Three out of the last four years, they've had a top three defense. And obviously, they're dominant in the running game. You have Mark Andrews at tight end. Like I said, the caveat is you traded away your best receiver, but hopefully you have Rashad Bateman step up, Prochet step up. That's where you would need, in my opinion, for this team to elevate in order to beat Kansas City.
Cant, you played for the Ravens. What do you think of this?
Yeah, the organization's not holding them back. They're just doing what they believe is in the best interest of winning as many games as they possibly can.
Right.
And the style of play that they're asking from Lamar Jackson, it's unconventional in the traditional sense with quarterbacks. And so there becomes a question of whether or not you can win a Super Bowl playing that way. But I think the organization is trying to put the pieces in place to accentuate what Lamar Jackson does best. Remember, they traded away Hollywood Brown and used that first-round pick to take Tyler Lindenbaum out of Iowa. So they're trying to put the pieces in place. They drafted two tight ends to go along with the two tight ends they already have on their roster. They're building this team in the mold of the team they had in 2019 when Lamar won the MVP in the hopes of trying to get the best out of him. So I don't think that they're holding him back. I think they're doing what's in the best interest of the team.
Right. And in the best interest of the team winning games right this minute, it may not be in the best interest of the player long-term. Because if you don't develop all avenues of his game, then that does become limiting. Mike Tannenbaum, here's the way I heard what Steve was saying. I think that when he first stepped in as the starter, Lamar Jackson, they took advantage. He may have a skill set as a runner that no quarterback in history has ever seen. Very few running backs in history have ever had it. But that there is another piece to this that because they have not needed to, or because they think it is in the short-term best interest of the team, they've not developed. And there's a conventional wisdom, I think, that they haven't done so because he's not capable of it. Or at least there are some people who think that. And what Steve is saying is he's capable of it, they're just not doing it. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I think the grade is really incomplete. I think the foundation is there, and Chris talked about they drafted another offensive lineman in the first round in Tyra Lindenbaum, Ronnie Stanley, they signed Morgan Moses. They have really good tight ends, and if Rashad Bateman can step up, as Sacha mentioned, they can take the next step. He's a young player that's already been an MVP, and Greeny, there's a great expression, which is the tape sets the floor and the character sets the ceiling. So I think his game's going to continue to evolve because he has great character. And I understand Steve's point. You want to see more downfield plays. I think that's coming. So he's off to a great start, and I think this offense will continue to evolve.
What do you think, Brooke? Because obviously all of this is set against the backdrop of potentially a record-breaking contract for Lamar Jackson that for whatever reason appears not to be offered to him right now.
What I just wrote down was what Mike T said about maybe the more downfield plays will come. But to everyone else's point, how are they going to come when the guy that was most responsible for them is in Arizona? That to me is an issue. And I had in my notes from earlier this summer that Greg Roman's passing scheme also seems to hurt Lamar's development. So I do think that Steve Young makes a good point. I also wish I was as passionate about anything as Steve Young was about defending Lamar. And he's right. I mean, look, he's looking out for his quarterback.
Well, I think, look, and Chris, I'll give you the final word. But the one way to look at it is if the team is basically saying we're going to limit what you do because of it's the best way for us to win games, and then say we're not going to pay you like these other quarterbacks because what you do is limited, I can see where that would be a source of contention.
Go ahead. That's not going to fly, which is why Lamar hasn't signed a contract, right? I've contended that the only reason Lamar Jackson doesn't have a deal is because the Baltimore Ravens haven't put a contract in front of him that makes him the highest paid player, both in terms of guaranteed money and average annual value. If they were to do that, then the deal would be done. We wouldn't be having this conversation about when Lamar is going to get a contract done. But Lamar also understands with each passing day, he's going to get closer to the contract that he wants and realizing his potential market value. And so that's where the Baltimore Ravens are at. And right now, you have to say it's advantaged Lamar Jackson in terms of the leverage in this negotiation, and the pressure is only going to continue to mount against Baltimore until they get this deal
probably
done.
Because of the world in which we live today. But with each passing day, he's also closer to playing a season without that security. Historically in the NFL, that's something no player ever wanted to do. I get that we live in a different time right now. It's worked for some other quarterbacks. Let's see where it winds up. We'll take a short break on that thought. Much more football as we go on this Friday. Now that Deshaun Watson's suspension is set at 11 games, what do the Browns need to do? Should they trade for Jimmy Garoppolo? One member of our crew says absolutely. You'll hear why next. Get up on ESPN.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
We're back on Get Up, and our top story today, the NFL and the Players Association reaching a settlement in the Deshaun Watson case, agreeing to an 11-game suspension without pay and a fine of $5 million. Watson was accused by more than 24 women of sexual misconduct during massage sessions. He spoke yesterday about the suspension.
It's a tough situation, but at the end of the day, I have to continue to make sure that I'm around as much as possible as I can be, and just continue to put in the work and let, you know, support the guys that's around, support this team. You know, I know these guys are going to do very, very well. We're all professionals. We all here for to do a job and to accomplish a goal, and that's win games. And I know the guys in that locker room are going to do that.
It's a story that obviously has a lot of different layers to it. Our Browns reporter Jake Trotter gets up with us from the Browns facility to talk about the football piece of this. Jake, what are the next steps for the Browns now that the suspension has been decided upon?
Yeah, Mike, so the plan right now is to move forward with Jacoby Brissett as the starting quarterback. For the first time all training camp, Brissett started getting reps with the ones this week. Watson was working with the twos, and yesterday, the team really doubled down in its confidence in Brissett, both GM Andrew Berry and head coach Kevin Stefanski. And on top of that, there was a relief to have some clarity in this situation. As Stefanski noted, we can finally move forward with our new plan at quarterback.
All right, and so what exactly is that plan? We understand that Brissett right now steps in as the starting quarterback. There's a lot of inexperience behind him. There is one name that still hovers out there, and that is Jimmy Garoppolo. What do we know about that plan beyond Jacoby Brissett?
Yeah, Mike, so when the Browns first signed Jacoby Brissett this offseason, they thought that Watson would get suspended somewhere in the range of 4 to 6 games. And I had people in the building behind me tell me that, hey, we can go 4-2 with Jacoby Brissett. Deshaun Watson is back in week 7, and we are right in the mix in the AFC. But I was also told that if the suspension were extended, that the team would consider other options at starting quarterback potentially.
Okay, and that is exactly what has happened here, of course, as the suspension goes from 6 to 11 games. So if one were to put 2 and 2 together and say Jimmy Garoppolo is available and the Browns may have a need, would we be adding it up to 4?
Yeah, Mike, so that's the name that I've heard here, Jimmy Garoppolo. But one thing to keep in mind, whoever the quarterback or quarterbacks are during this 11-game stretch, it's only going to be temporary. Deshaun Watson is going to be back in week 13. The 49ers have indicated that they're going to do right by Jimmy Garoppolo in a trade. So the question is this: how would Jimmy G feel about coming to Cleveland as an 11-game rental?
That is a good question. We will continue to talk about it here. Jay, keep us apprised as the news continues to develop there in Cleveland. Let me bring it back to the table here. And for those of you just joining us, we had a lengthy conversation off the top of the show today about some of the feelings that so many people have that emerge from the Deshaun Watson situation. That's the off-the-field piece. It is obviously much more important than anything involving football. But there is the football side to this as well. So let's start, Brooke, with you on the Jimmy Garoppolo of it all. As you talk to people around the league, Garoppolo is going to be traded. Here's one circumstance, it's not the only one, where there is a quarterback need. What are we expecting as far as Jimmy G is concerned?
I mean, look, the Browns are out here collecting quarterbacks like Infinity Stones, which means it's only natural to bring on in Jimmy G because, yes, they're saying now that they want it to be temporary, but Deshaun Watson hasn't played football in a really long time. By the time we get to the end of his suspension, it's going to be even longer. So, yes, you want this guy to be the face of the franchise, to be your face on the field, but is he going to be capable of doing that? You've got a much better sure thing in Jimmy Garoppolo. I think that because of that, they're going to want to bring him in. And it's a great opportunity for Jimmy G to showcase his talents on a team that is very talented with the running backs, with the defense, with everything else. It's a good situation if you ignore that Deshaun Watson elephant in the room.
Right. If Jimmy G is looking for a 1 year to prove himself, and maybe he doesn't even need that at this stage. Mike T, if you're making the decisions there in Cleveland right now, are you calling about Jimmy G?
I'm calling and I'm not hanging out without a deal. This is an absolute no-brainer. In two of the last 3 years, he's been to a conference championship game, a Super Bowl. He's won 70% of the games that he's played. And as Brooke just said, they have a really good team right now. So for conditional fourth-round pick, fifth-round pick, whatever it may be, go get him. Don't hang up the phone with John Lynch. From San Francisco's perspective, Greeny, it's a no-brainer. You don't want to see him in Seattle. You don't want to see him backing up Stafford in L.A. Get him out of your conference. And lastly, for Jimmy G, the verb is investing. I want to invest in myself so in March of 2023, as a free agent, I could crush it. There's no better place, as Brooke just said, than the Browns right now.
Yeah, it's a better situation than most of the others that feel available at this minute. Now, there's still a lot of preseason to be played and, unfortunately, others to get injured, and we'll see if that changes that dynamic. Are they markedly better? I guess, Chris Canty, I want to ask you, if they don't trade for someone like Garoppolo, if they go in with what they have right now, what are the Browns? And if they were to get Garoppolo, would that substantially change their fortunes for this year?
Well, they're the worst team in the AFC North with Jacoby Brissett as their starting quarterback. With Jimmy Garoppolo, at least you have a chance to tread water until Deshaun Watson gets back and make a run at a wild card. That's how I view it. The conference is really, really tough. You're talking about pretty much every team in the AFC North having a chance to make the playoffs. Every team in the AFC West having a chance to make the playoffs. And, of course, the Buffalo Bills in the AFC East. So all I'm simply saying is this. You can't make the argument that the Cleveland Browns aren't in a better position to make a run at a wild card with Jimmy Garoppolo as their quarterback as opposed to Jacoby Brissett. The last time we saw Jacoby Brissett as a full-time starter was 2019, and he finished 21st in QBR, and the team with him as the starter had a losing record. Give me a break. Jimmy Garoppolo is the absolute right decision for this franchise. The roster is too good. You got a top-five defense, the highest-graded offensive line in the division based on PFF from a year ago, and you have a top-five running game. This team is good enough to compete for a playoff spot with Jimmy G.
It's interesting. The numbers that you saw on your screen there suggest that Las Vegas agrees with you, Chris Canty. You saw the numbers in the wake of the suspension from Watson yesterday. You see how they all plummet. The odds get a lot longer for the Browns to do things like win the championship, win the AFC, even win the AFC North. And so that's interesting, Sam. There's an interesting dynamic at play here. For all these years in San Francisco, it feels like all we've done is point out the things Jimmy Garoppolo doesn't do, how spectacular he isn't, the things they've done in spite of him rather than with him. And maybe now this forces people to say, hold on a second, he's actually a lot better than the conventional wisdom of him would reality be. What do you think of that, Sam?
Yeah, I mean, I hear what you're saying, Greeny, but I don't think that Jimmy G is the answer for an 11-game stretch, right? Like, the first four games, okay, maybe you can win those, right? It's not too hard. You got the Jets, the Panthers, the Steelers, and the Falcons, right? The middle of the season is when it gets a little bit difficult, right? Before that suspension ends, you play the Buccaneers, you play the Bills, you play the Chargers, you play the Patriots. So I get it for, like, a few games, but at the end of the day, you're not signing Jimmy G for a few games. I think that you wouldn't bring him on and take whatever you're going to give up when it comes to draft picks and pay him whatever you need to pay him for a few games. You want a guy like that to be your starter for the season or seasons to come. And so for me, I think you ride it out with Jacoby Brissett until Deshaun Watson gets back.
I mean, if you can, the reality of it is that Deshaun Watson is going to be their quarterback going forward. His contract, if nothing else, his contract stipulates he's going to be the quarterback of the Cleveland Browns going forward. So whatever you're doing, it is a stopgap measure. The question is, does that give you a chance to accomplish something meaningful this season, and what is that worth? If the answer is it's a conditional fourth-round pick, go ahead, Mike T. I see you're raising your hand. If the answer is that's a fourth-round pick, that doesn't feel like a very high price to pay for that.
I agree. Another interesting part of the discussion is Jimmy Garoppolo in game 12, 13, and 14 better than Deshaun Watson, as Brooke alluded to, someone who hasn't played in 700 days? Like, Deshaun Watson's going to have some rust that he's going to have to work through. So it may be more than 11 games for Jimmy Garoppolo.
That's right. I mean, Deshaun Watson will be their quarterback week one of next year, no matter what happens. He doesn't have to be their quarterback week 13 of this year.
There's no question about it. And that's why I think you roll with Jimmy Garoppolo, because he gives you an opportunity to pick the right spot to insert Deshaun Watson in the lineup. Let's also consider this, guys. There are some salary cap ramifications, too. The Cleveland Browns have more cap space than anybody else. So for anybody trading for Jimmy Garoppolo, you're going to have to absorb that $20+ million salary. The Browns can afford that luxury because they do have the cap space, so it makes sense. And then from a schematic standpoint, West Coast offense for Kevin Stefanski, very similar to what Kyle Shanahan runs. It wouldn't take a long time for Jimmy Garoppolo to get up to speed in Cleveland.
Brooke, give me a final word. What do you think? A timing and more.
Well, I'm looking at what this means for the rest of the AFC North, and I think this means that the door is open now for a team like the Steelers, who don't have a premier quarterback the way that the rest of the division does. The door was already cracked because of who they are on defense with some of their offensive skill players. But now they have the opportunity to really come through full force, like the Kool-Aid man coming through a wall. I mean, I think that this Deshaun situation, whoever they go with at quarterback, does open the door for the Steelers.
We're going to talk about the Steelers quarterback situation a little later in the show. I've been saying it all along. We are sleeping. The world is sleeping on the Steelers, who are absolutely a contender to win that division this year. As we continue in just a moment, Tom Brady, is his return imminent, or will he be gone longer than we think? And if he stays away, what does that mean? We've got all the answers as we roll on to Football Friday. Get up on ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We are back on Get Up and look at the game of the night last night between a couple of aces on the mound, Mets and Braves, finishing up their four-game series. Jacob DeGrom on the bump for New York. Bottom of three, Braves 1-0 runners at second, and that's Austin Riley with a base hit up the middle. Scores Dansby Swanson. Braves up 2-0. DeGrom doesn't like it. Bottom of seven, DeGrom still out there, tied at two with two men out. This is a 3-2 pitch. Vaughn Grissom to third. Can't make the play. That'd be a night for Jason DeGrom. Buck Showalter's coming out to get him. DeGrom didn't like it. Seth Lugo in to face the next batter with a runner at first. Michael Harris through the shift. Vaughn Grissom is coming around. We're going to have ourselves a play at the plate. The throw is there, but it's not in time. 3-2, the lead for Atlanta. The run is charged to DeGrom. He didn't like it. Top of nine. Same score. Mets a runner at second. Down to their final out. Jeff McNeil. It's not going to get it done. Kenley Jansen. Braves win it 3-2. They take three out of four.
The division lead is 3.5 games. Just 10 days ago, the Braves were 7 back of the Mets. As of today, they've cut that in half thanks to a 9-1 stretch in their past 10. These two teams only have one more series left between them. That is late September, early October in Atlanta. So keep an eye on the NL East. Meanwhile, we go back to the NFL, where we asked each of our analysts today to give us a team that's better than most people think. Brooke Pryor, give me a team people are sleeping on.
Well, this is going to be a shock, but I'm picking the Steelers. look, any quarterback that the Steelers go with, I think it will be Mitch Trubisky, is going to be an upgrade over Ben Roethlisberger last season. Over the last 2 years of Ben's career, the Steelers ranked 31st in yards per attempt, better than only the Giants. So anybody that they go with is going to be better with the weapons they already have on defense. Najee Harris, the offensive skill weapons, they're going to be better than we think.
And an elite coach. I'm with you on that. Chris Canty, give me a team that's better than people think.
I'm going with the Lions, Greeny. Detroit versus everybody. And maybe it's Hard Knocks. Maybe it's the fact that two of my former teammates, Dan Campbell and Aaron Glenn, are on the coaching staff. But I believe in what they're building in Detroit. Last season, they had 10 one-possession games and lost 7 of them. They'll figure out the way to get on the other side of those results. I like what they had. They had two big-time playmakers in Aiden Hutchinson and Jamison Williams. Look out for the Detroit Lions.
I actually agree with that one, too. Mike T, give me a team that's better than we think.
The New Orleans Saints. Look at Jameis Winston here. He was 5-2 last year as a starter. Look at their weapons with Jarvis Landry, Chris Olave, a healthy Michael Thomas, Marquez Callaway, Alvin Kamara. And somehow, Greeny, their defense seems to have Tampa Bay's number on offense. So on both sides of the ball, they could be really strong this year.
All right, that's another interesting one. Speaking of the Saints, they, of course, play in that division with Tampa Bay, and the Bucs are odds-on favorites to win it. Let's hear from Todd Bowles yesterday, because the absence of Tom Brady from training camp, not a story really to this point, but that could change. Listen.
We'll see. We'll talk about it next week. Not concerned about it right now. We're trying to practice against Tennessee and play a game. I said sometime after Tennessee. There's no definitive date for me, but we'll check on it. We'll keep in touch and we'll find out.
Huh. So what exactly is that? The quarterback is an excused absence for personal reasons from training camp, and now we're not exactly sure when he's coming back. I'm fully on board with this not having been a big deal yet. But Chris Canty, at some point, it has to become a big deal, right?
Yeah, it's unsettling, the fact that you don't know when Tom Brady is coming back. Initially, the timeline was 10-day absence. But now, it seems like Todd Bowles is moving the goalposts. And I'm not as concerned about Brady's preparedness for the season as much as I'm concerned about Brady being the guy that sets the tone, that sets the agenda for the rest of the locker room. Remember, 3 years ago, this is an organization that had a losing record. Mm-hmm. Tom Brady was the biggest agent of change for Tampa. He turned him into a championship organization. So you can't say that his absence throughout the preseason is not going to have an impact on his team, at least early on in the regular season.
Sacho, if I'm not mistaken, you were on that team, right? You were on that Bucs team that last year before Brady got there, and there was a lot of talent, but obviously there was something missing, and that something clearly was Tom Brady and his ability. I mean, Diana Russini was on here yesterday telling us that he coaches the team more than anybody else does. How big a deal is this, Sacho?
Yeah, I think it's a huge deal. It's one thing to hear from your coaches, do this or do that or follow my lead. It's another thing to hear it from Tom Brady. I was on that Tampa Bay team in 2019 that had a losing season. All the talent was there. Mike Evans was there. Chris Godwin was there. All they added was Tom Brady and, of course, yes, Rob Gronkowski. When I was a free agent and I heard that Tom Brady was coming, I got even more excited. I started training even harder because of the Tom Brady effect. That effect with him not being there, at least right now for the last week or so and maybe even longer, I think it may start to wear on the people in that building. Yes, they know it's Tom Brady. He's the GOAT. But those little things of like, man, the complacency that can set in, I think Tom being gone may affect the team in a bigger way.
Yeah, it's one thing for us not to know when he's coming back. They're not obligated to tell us. Todd Bowles seemed genuinely uncertain of when that was coming. Now, that might just have been a mistaken way of phrasing it, but that's certainly the way it felt anyway, and that seems like there's something there. What do you think of it all, Brooke?
Yeah, I mean, I think to everyone else's point, Tom Brady himself, the quarterback, he's going to be totally fine. I'm not worried about Brady's ability to come back from this break. But I look at the chemistry that you want to develop with guys in camp. yes, he has played with a lot of these guys before. There's continuity in play callers, things like that. But still, he has a new guy like Kyle Rudolph. Why wouldn't you want to get every single opportunity you can working with your weapons, a new center? This is not just a plug-and-play situation somewhere that he's been for a decade and could seamlessly slip back in. And to everyone else's point, he holds the rest of the team accountable. It feels like this is a do-what-I-say, not-what-I-do situation, and that's not really what you want from your quarterback, from your leader. And you'd hate for the season to get started, the offense to be slow, and there to be resentment growing. What if we could be better if he had been here all of preseason?
Yeah, it's easy to say and easy to understand. You make special accommodations for a player of his stature and a player at his stage in life. I mean, he's 45 years old. I get all of that. It's the uncertainty that seems to be growing around it that you feel. You can't sort of miss it if you talk to people around the league. Mike T, how do you see it all?
Yeah, I think that's right. It wasn't a big story yet, but it's starting to get there. And let's keep in mind, Todd Bowles, albeit it's his second opportunity, he's trying to establish himself with his team, and not having your starting quarterback there only makes that a little bit harder. Now, because it is Tom Brady, and the fact that Todd's been there certainly makes things a little bit easier. But in a perfect world, from a front office perspective, from an organization perspective, you want your head coach, your quarterback to be in lockstep. And obviously that's not happening now. Look, if we're talking about this in another week, it's a huge story, but because it's Tom Brady, I think, you know, he's earned the benefit of the doubt.
Well, look, you see that the season starts with some tough games. At Dallas is certainly not easy. We just mentioned how the Saints have had their number, and then the Packers, who were one of the best teams in their conference, and the Chiefs were one of the best teams in the opposing conference. This feels like a perfect example of a story, Chris Canty, that if they start out badly, we will look back on this and we will say it is the reason. It won't necessarily actually have been the reason, but it feels like a perfect opportunity to say, see, this goes back to those 2 weeks that Brady missed in August.
Yeah, I think people will look at Tom Brady, but they'll also look at Todd Bowles too, because he was a failed head coach his first time around, and it's different when you're wearing that hat along with being the defensive coordinator, the defensive play caller. So there is a natural leadership vacuum with Brady being out of the building, but I do think it presents a unique opportunity for Todd Bowles to assert himself and put his stamp on this team.
All right, so we've got a Football Friday going. Tonight it's a Football Friday. The only MLS match on the schedule. Tonight all soccer eyes will be on the Galaxy hosting the Sounders. Big game in the Western Conference between playoff hopefuls. The West Coast primetime matchup starts 10 Eastern on ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and on the ESPN app. As we continue, Justin Fields, good last night for the Bears, but his team is playing a dangerous game with their young quarterback. We'll tell you what that is and whether they have any real chance to win it next. Get up on ESPN.